VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. We're having a news roundup day today, and we've got tons of stories and issues to bring to your attention. Sandy has been very busy this week getting us, well, it looks like more material than we'll be able to get in here, but wow, we've got lots of news and information, and certainly it's important for us to be understanding of the times in which we live, understanding of the importance of getting out the gospel in such a time as this. When we see the world just pulsating in these various issues, it should be a reminder that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and we need to occupy till he comes again. We're going to begin today with a story from WND.com of Professor Luke Montagnier, a central member of the team that identified HIV during the early days of the AIDS epidemic, now is bucking the media consensus on the novel coronavirus by claiming the pathogen was at least partially edited in a laboratory. According to research performed by him, a Nobel Prize winner, and his mathematician partner, Jean-Claude Perez, SARS-CoV-2 contains sequences of the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV. The medical legend took his claims a step further and asserted that his confidence that the virus was pieced together in a Wuhan, China biolab. Also, from FoxNews.com, the novel coronavirus has mutated now into at least 30 different genetic variations, according to a new study in China. Results show that medical officials have vastly underestimated the overall ability of the virus to mutate, finding that different strains have affected different parts of the world, leading to potential difficulties in finding an overall cure. They analyzed the strains from 11 randomly chosen coronavirus patients. More than 30 different mutations were detected, of which 19 were previously undiscovered. From Newsmax.com, there's a possibility that the assault of the virus on our nation next winter will actually be even more difficult than the one we just went through, claims CDC Director Robert Redfield in a story published on Tuesday. We're going to have the flu epidemic and the coronavirus epidemic at the same time, Redfield said. He's asked state officials to use the next few months planning for the next wave of coronavirus. I wonder if the projections, or by the part of some, hopes of shutting down America is planned to continue. Some are wondering, will it ever let up in some states? We also have here from ABC 13 out of Houston, Texas, reporting that two-thirds of those seriously ill with COVID-19 patients did not have fever. 57% of patients had high blood pressure, 41% were obese, 34% had type 2 diabetes, the study found. Fever is the first symptom doctors look for, but Davidson said the sickest patients didn't present with a fever. Also coming to us from WND.com, the fact that data shows the vast majority of the population has a very low chance of suffering severely from coronavirus is one of the number of reasons why the U.S. should gradually lift the lockdown orders and reopen the country, according to two prominent health experts. Dr. David Katz, who's founding director of the Yale Griffin Prevention Research Center, and Dr. John Ioannidis, a professor of medicine statistics, epidemiology, and population health at Stanford, discussed the issue with Mark Levine on his program. Ioannidis noted that the early estimates of the World Health Organization put the death rate at 3.4% of those who diagnosed. Significantly, the computer models projecting millions of deaths from COVID-19 worldwide were built on those assumptions. Well, as completely off, he said, it's just an astronomical error. There's far more people who are infected with the virus. The majority don't even know they've been infected. They're asymptomatic, or they have had very mild symptoms that would not even bother to do anything about them. The data now indicates that not one out of 30 who will die, but one out of 1,000. The two experts conclude it's time to relax some of this physical distancing orders and stages based on a much more complete understanding of how COVID-19 spreads. From the Western Journal, the U.S. short-term effort to minimize the damage from coronavirus is not going to win the long-term war against the disease. Katz said that a long period of shutdown only prolongs the time until the virus spreads. Katz said communicable diseases lose their power once a population they would prey upon develops what is known as herd immunity. The collective resistance to a virus that grows naturally by many people having the disease recovering and developing antibodies, saying we're just prolonging it with the shutdown. Looking at another story here from the Daily Wire, California Department of Public Health has now decided that if a worst-case scenario arises from coronavirus, younger people and healthcare workers vital to the acute care response would be prioritized over others. It's a 38-page document by the California Department of Public Health, and it says, we suggest that life cycle considerations should be used as a tiebreaker if there are not enough resources. And so they break it down into age categories, ages 12 to 40, ages 41 to 60, 61 to 75, and those older than 75. From Fox News, New York State rescinded a blanket do not resuscitate order Wednesday that instructed first responders not to revive patients without a pulse in an effort to preserve resources during the COVID-19 outbreak. Before the initial order was issued, paramedics were told to try to resuscitate patients found in cardiac arrest for up to 20 minutes, the New York Post reported. New York City's fire department and first responders never adopted this do not resuscitate order and instead adhered to the traditional 20-minute policy. First responders said they were disturbed by the directive, arguing it went against the mission of saving lives. So New York State now has rescinded the do not resuscitate orders for cardiac patients amid the COVID-19 outbreak. Coming from the OCRegister.com, we have the story here that Dee Dee Hirsch, Mental Health Services in Los Angeles, one of the three centers in the nation that takes calls on the suicide hotline, as well as the National Disaster Distress Hotline. They operate around the clock, helping victims of natural and man-made disasters. They deal with emotional and mental health issues. Well, in February, they report that 70 full-time staff members and 215 volunteers took 22 calls on the Suicide and Disaster Helpline related to coronavirus. In March, that number soared to 1,800 calls, more than an 8,000% increase. From LifeSiteNews.com, President Trump's pandemic expert is calling for the abolishing of handshakes, but not sexual relations with strangers. Folks, this is unbelievable. I guess it's believable because we've seen many other things come from Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He was interviewed last week, and he was asked about that question. He said, if you're willing to take a risk, and you know everybody has their own tolerance for risk, you could figure out if you want to meet somebody, if you're looking for a friend, sit in a room, put a mask on, and, you know, chat a bit. But if you want to go a little bit more intimate, well, that's your choice regarding a risk. Fauci's apparent comfort with people judging their own health stands in stark contrast with comments he made just earlier this month on a different type of human interaction, saying, quote, I don't think we should ever shake hands ever again, to be honest with you, he told the Wall Street Journal. Not only would it be good to prevent coronavirus disease, it probably would decrease instances of influenza dramatically in this country as a society just forget about shaking hands, he repeated. Well, folks, he's saying no to shaking hands, but if you want to have sexual relations with strangers, well, you know what risk level you want to undertake. As we take a look at further stories here today on Crosstalk from townhall.com, the State Department confirmed to staff members of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform during a briefing on April 15th that the state-run media in China, Russia, and Iran are working together to blame the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic on the United States. That's according to an internal GOP Oversight and Reform Committee report. According to a cybersecurity report, Chinese state-run media has attempted to shift the blame for the pandemic away from China and instead painted China as a global leader in the response to the pandemic. The State Department has confirmed Chinese, Iranian, and Russian state-run media are all promoting similar message in an effort to blame the United States for COVID-19. From Western Journal, for the people of New Jersey, even driving through a local tulip farm to take in the splendors of the season is apparently not allowed. Up until Sunday, Dalton Farms in Swedesboro was selling tickets for drive-through tours of their 252,000 tulips in full bloom, according to NJ.com. Although patrons could stay in their cars, thus making the spread of COVID-19 highly unlikely, the 99-acre farm was ordered by authorities to shut down the tours. As of 7 p.m., we were ordered to cease all operations by an assistant prosecutor from the state of New Jersey, Dalton Farms posted to Facebook on Sunday. Authorities did not deny they had shut down the tours, saying, quote, "We have been clear. In order to limit the spread of the COVID-19 virus, events of any size cannot take place," the New Jersey Attorney General's office said in a statement to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Unbelievable. Cannot even drive through to see the blooming tulips. FoxNews.com reporting Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has extended the state's stay-at-home order through the end of May with some modifications, designating new essential businesses and allowing some non-essential businesses to restart certain operations as the state grapples with the virus. The new executive order will allow a phased reopening of state parks, will allow fishing and boating in groups of no more than two people. The order also designates several new essential businesses like greenhouses, garden centers, and nurseries, as well as animal grooming services. But don't forget the, quote, social distancing. Retail stores under the order are still considered non-essential, but are allowed to reopen for telephone and online orders through the pickup outside the store, as well as delivery. Newsmax.com. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said Wednesday, most if not all of the U.S. economy should be reopened by later in the summer after a devastating shutdown. We're looking forward to, by the time we get to later in the summer, having most of the economy, if not all of the economy, open, he told Fox Business Network. Suggested that the president, if he signs that $484 billion funding measure into law, the economy will have all the rescue funds it needs to cope with this shutdown. Well, Fox News reports that the House of Representatives yesterday did pass this $484 billion relief package to rescue small businesses, help hospitals, and expand testing, setting the fourth bipartisan coronavirus bill to the president's desk. It passed 388-5. Nancy Pelosi called the fourth bipartisan coronavirus legislation historic during the enrollment ceremony. She and Democratic leaders touted their efforts to extract concessions from the Senate and Trump administration to target small business aid to minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. Also, Nancy Pelosi, this is from WND.com, says a chunk of money will be set aside in the next coronavirus stimulus bill to help expand vote by mail across the state. President Trump has warned that voting by mail, bypassing voter ID laws, creates more opportunities for fraud. Washington Times reporting churches across the country are seeing larger declines in donations amid coronavirus stay-at-home orders than they did during the Great Recession more than a decade ago. Nearly two-thirds of the 1,000-plus U.S. churches surveyed by Brian Cluth for the State of the Plate Project reported that giving has decreased since mid-March, the outset of widespread social distancing measures, they report, intended to stop the spread of COVID-19. Can we remind you as we're going into this break, please, please, please be in support of your local church financially. They have needs. The missionaries your church supports, they're counting on you. Be in support financially of your local church. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what formed Utah's Great Salt Lake?
Chris, the Great Salt Lake is much more salty than seawater because it has water coming in but no rivers leaving the lake. Whatever dissolved solids come in stay there, and as the water evaporates, the lake increases in solidity. It turns out that Salt Lake is really just a leftover remnant of a much larger lake called Lake Bonneville. When the Great Flood of Noah's Day drained off the continents and places water ponded and became inland lakes. Most of these lakes have since drained either through evaporation or through catastrophic failure of the natural dams which were holding them in. Lake Bonneville evidently drained northward through the Snake River Canyon within the last few thousand years. Chris, all the evidence fits that back to Genesis truth of Earth history.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a News Roundup Day here today. A very interesting report that's come out by Dr. Peter Bragan. It's a report that indicates scientific paper is proving U.S. and Chinese scientists collaborated to create the coronavirus that can infect humans. Just reading the opening paragraph, it was in 2015. American researchers and Chinese Wuhan Institute of Virology researchers collaborated to transform an animal coronavirus into one that can attack humans. Scientists from the prestigious American universities and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration worked diligently with the two co-author researchers from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Funding was provided by the Chinese and U.S. governments. The team succeeded in modifying a bat coronavirus to make it capable of infecting humans. Ladies and gentlemen, that research was published in December 2015 in the prestigious British journal Nature Medicine, Volume 21. It's on pages 1508 to page 1513. A SARS-like, and I've got a copy here, a SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence. And WND.com reporting that some of the research concerning this, there was a grant given by the Obama administration. The lab received grants from the U.S. National Institutes of Health totaling $7.1 million, according to public documents compiled by the White Coat Waste Project and shared with London's The Mail on Sunday. 2015. From townhall.com, speaking to donors during a phone call Tuesday night, former Vice President Joe Biden said the Wuhan coronavirus crisis has been exciting because it gives Democrats an opportunity to pursue their far-left political agenda, saying, I believe because sort of the blinders have been taken off because of this COVID crisis, I think people are realizing, look at what is possible. Look at the institutional changes we can make, that we can change the institutional drawbacks from education all the way through to all the other things we talked about, Biden said. If I sound like I'm excited, I am. This position has been used for weeks by House Democrats led by Nancy Pelosi to take advantage of the crisis. And that's what so many programs have been about, is how this crisis being used as an advantage for these very leftist liberal policies to be instituted in communities, counties, states across the nation. From Newsmax.com, California Governor Gavin Newsom's $1 billion protective face mask deal with Chinese electric car manufacturer BYD is sparking bipartisan concerns. The state has already paid the first installment of $495 million to be used in the fight against coronavirus. Calls for 150 million N95 masks and surgical masks each month from BYD. Masks would be distributed to healthcare workers. BYD stands for Build Your Dreams, has a U.S. subsidiary based in Los Angeles. Governor Newsom contracting $1 billion with the Chinese for face masks. From FoxNews.com, protesters gathered outside the home of Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer on Thursday, the same day that reports emerged that she plans to extend the stay-at-home order by 2 weeks until May 15th. The demonstration was dubbed Operation Queen's Castle, featured an image of Whitmer wearing a crown, Fox 2 of Detroit reported. We wanted to send Gretchen Whitmer a message. We didn't want to surrender our liberties just for a little temporary safety, Brian Pannenbecker, who helped organize the protest, told the station. Protest also going on Madison, Wisconsin today here as well. Here's from the New York Post. Dozens of inmates freed from city jails over fears they were vulnerable to the coronavirus have wasted no time plaguing the city with new crimes. At least 50 of the 1,500 criminals cut loose amid fears of the spread of COVID-19 behind bars in recent weeks have already landed back in jail. In some cases, were set free yet again, according to police sources and records. Fox News reporting over 16,000 U.S. inmates have been released as the coronavirus crisis has progressed. WND.com. A woman in Rathdrum, Idaho, facing the possibility of a $1,000 fine and up to 6 months in jail for staying in her own yard. Oh, here's the problem. She was having a yard sale. The police department said Krista Thompson violated the state's coronavirus shutdown order. Her husband stated, quote, the family had a significant financial incentive to deal with the belonging of Peter's late father. After the death, the family had taken over his storage unit payments, which were about $1,000 a month. That sum is, according to Peter, a significant burden for a one-income family with six kids. So they're having a yard sale to dispose of those items. And now facing a possibility of a $1,000 fine and up to 6 months in jail for having a yard sale. Could not people decide whether they felt safe or not going and participating in a yard sale? FoxNews.com reporting California officials who closed a popular skate park. They filled it with 37 tons of sand in hopes of keeping residents away from this outbreak. But they've inadvertently turned this into a dirt biker's paradise, they report. A video posted on Instagram this week shows riders catching air at Ralph's Skate Court in San Clemente, despite the city's effort to enforce the quote, and I'm quoting from the article, social distancing. Yeah, I think our caller is right. Physical distancing is a better term. But here they said, we're going to stop them people from doing this. They filled the skateboard park up with sand. Well, they found dirt bikers are now enjoying it very, very much. Wisconsin Republicans have sued to block the stay-at-home order, calling upon the Wisconsin Supreme Court to overturn Governor Tony Evers' directives keeping the state shut down until after Memorial Day. That is before the Wisconsin Supreme Court at this time. Townhall.com, the World Health Organization hit with a class-action lawsuit Monday from residents in New York's Westchester County, which one of the original coronavirus hotspots in the U.S., the three New York residents accuse the WHO of a cover-up in charge to claim that they were injured and damaged by WHO's neglect, this lawsuit seeks unspecified damages for incalculable harm to the roughly 756,000 adult residents in the county that would make up the class. An international law professor said the lawsuit would likely be dismissed because U.S. law affords the WHO functional immunity from such cases. Can't sue the WHO. LifeSiteNews.com, the International Planned Parenthood Federation, has announced the closing of 5,633 member clinics due to COVID-19 pandemic, and 23 others have reported a reduced ability to commit abortions. LifeNews.com tells us, though, a medical emergency occurred at the Women's Health Center abortion facility in New Orleans, Louisiana, despite efforts by the state attorney general, Jeff Landry, to enforce an order that should have shut down the abortion businesses due to the COVID-19 outbreak. The emergency occurred on April 21st, located in the midst of an area where a major COVID-19 outbreak had occurred. In a photo provided by Operation Rescue by a local pro-life activist, an African-American woman was seen fully clothed on a gurney with arms up as if she was in distress. Surgical cap covered her hair. She wore a protective mask. And we know in many states, governors have said abortion is essential business. And certainly, we know the disposing of innocent human life should not be a part of that which is declared to be essential. Well, hats off to an Idaho farm that's giving away millions of potatoes for free so they don't go to waste. Lockdowns are disrupting many supply chains. Restaurants are not getting potatoes for French fries and side dishes. And so Ryan Craney, the CEO of Craney Farms in Oakley, Idaho, is one of those farmers. He's left with a literal mountain of potatoes that would go to waste. Posted on his unofficial Facebook page, free potatoes if you'd like a few bags, come on by. Also, we know that Wisconsin Creamery, Sassy Cow, located in Columbus, is keeping a refrigerator outside the creamery that's fully stocked with milk and other dairy products. They have called this refrigerator the Kindness Cooler because it's available to anyone in need, and it's open until the end of the pandemic. Reports Breitbart. Okay, let's take another look at a story here. This one from the Daily Wire. Experts are advocating a total ban on indoor grocery shopping, instead suggesting grocery stores offer pre-order curbside pickup for customers. The advocated transition is said by experts to be a necessary step to keep grocery store workers who have been dubbed essential safe from being infected with the virus. Grocery stores are still flooded with customers. Experts say it's time for large chains to go dark to the public and convert to curbside pickup and home delivery for food and other essential goods, a CNN report outlined this week. United Food and Commercial Workers said 85% of its grocery store workers report that customers are not practicing social distancing in stores, CNN said. From WND.com, governors who impose rules to deal with coronavirus pandemic that infringe on constitutional rights can expect to face legal action, warned the Attorney General, William Barr, saying we have to give businesses more freedom to operate in a way that's reasonably safe. AOC, well, she has added again. CNSNews.com has a story. Americans should just say no to President Trump's call for states to reopen and go back to work. She said in a video interview with Vice.com, she said, when President Trump speaks of reopening society, what he really means is go back to work. But a lot of people should just say, no, we're not going back to that because workers aren't being paid enough to feel secure in their lives. Very interesting indeed. And we'll have some, let's see, I had another story on that issue here. Yeah, we'll come across it here eventually. Coronavirus watchdogs. Riverside County, California, have become who come across non-essential businesses still in operation, large gatherings or businesses not complying, are now given a mobile app for the county to report on their fellow citizens, reports the LA Times. This is very interesting. In light of our interview with Gary Codd the other day from biometricupdate.com, Supercom is providing a tracking biometric technology-based solution for quarantine and isolation monitoring to help governments contain infectious diseases such as coronavirus. The solution is a scalable electronic monitoring and tracking platform ready for deployment. It includes a waterproof, hyperallergenic, a Bluetooth ankle bracelet, a smartphone, and SaaS software in the cloud, but it also is customizable, such as for smartphone-only monitoring. They're speaking with a number of government organizations to roll this out globally. The system monitors patient location in any environment, including in buildings and vehicles, supports existing healthcare containment models, comes with smartphone integration, secure communication, advanced security, anti-tamper mechanism, fingerprint biometrics, voice communication, unique touch screens, and extended battery life. It's dubbed Pure Health. The solution integrated Pure Security technology already been used to track and monitor people with location restrictions in the U.S., Canada, Sweden, Denmark, Czech Republic, Bulgaria, Estonia, China, and Latvia, among others. Oh, something very egregious, draconian. Montana. Well, officials in one Montana county are apologizing now, withdrawing a demand that shoppers have and wear a pink wristband after the health department imposed that extreme requirement during recovery from coronavirus. This is in Glasgow. The Valley County Health Department said, did you see a pink wristband in Valley County? What does it mean? It tells store owners have a pink wristband, have been through a 14-day self-quarantine. They're allowed to enter businesses. If they don't, they have to use curbside delivery only. They're not to enter your business to shop, the department warned. Very interesting indeed. And just a day later, the report was updated with an apology. Evidently, there was quite an uproar regarding this, but they have rescinded that since that time. I've got a few more stories after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Here's a clip from A Distant Thunder, part of the Thief in the Night series.
Let me see your ID, please. Your right hand, please. That trick, young woman, is used in here 50 times a day. Now, if you want your child cared for, you must have your ID.
Please, you've got to help me. I can't take the mark.
The Thief in the Night 4-part prophecy DVD set, available through Crosstalk as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $25 or more. Only need one DVD of A Thief in the Night? It's available for a donation of just $10. Call VCY America, 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. Or online at vcyamerica.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. I just want to make one further mention on many of you heard our interview with Rich Cristiano, who is a distributor of the Thief in the Night series, and we had made a special offer of that DVD series in which Thief in the Night on DVD was available, donation of $10, the 4-pack Thief in the Night, Distant Thunder, Image of the Beast, Prodigal Planet, for donation of $25 for that 4-pack DVD set. After today, I mean, we've been saying it was for a limited time, and this is going to be our final announcement here virtually on the program for that. And just wanted to make mention, if you did want to obtain this, we've mailed out thousands of these DVDs. You can contact us. We're all caught up here, but you need to go to vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or call us at 414-935-3000 or 800-729-9829. A news release came out from Liberty Counsel. Make that 800-729-9829. News release from Liberty Counsel. Pastor Kevin Wilson and Lighthouse Fellowship Church, this is in Virginia, have filed a federal lawsuit against Governor Ralph Northam for violating their religious freedom by targeting churchgoers on Palm Sunday. Liberty Counsel representing the pastor. They held the service in a church, 16 people spaced far apart, as a sanctuary that is rated for 293 people. The charge in violating the COVID Order 55 with a penalty up to a year in jail or a $2,500 fine is being fought right now by Liberty Counsel. Interesting story, and this is circulating all over the country now. Western Journal has it. A small business owner in Washington State is describing how the federal government's increase in unemployment benefits for people who have lost their jobs because of coronavirus is causing her to compete with unemployment. Jamie Black Lewis, who owns a couple businesses, thrilled after learning she had secured two small business loans through the Paycheck Protection Program to continue paying her employees, even though the businesses were closed. But according to Black Lewis, her employees didn't share her excitement. She told CNBC that she told 35 employees in a virtual conference that she had received loans to pay them. The news did not garner the reception she was expecting. It was a firestorm of hatred. Black Lewis said her employees were upset because they were due to receive unemployment benefits that would have paid them more than their jobs. You see, that $2 trillion CARES Act passed last month as an emergency measure to help workers and businesses hit hard by the nationwide closures included a provision that would add an extra $600 a week to existing unemployment benefits. And this is much higher than what many people would get even for their own jobs. And so her workers are outraged. Keep in mind, the story reports a number of Republican senators warned in March that the increase in unemployment benefits could create an incentive for people not to work. And indeed, that is happening. By the way, America's meat supply might be in jeopardy, reports Western Journal, as workers at slaughterhouses and meat processing plants are diagnosed with COVID-19. I don't know how this has occurred, but almost simultaneously in these facilities around the country, all of a sudden the COVID-19 outbreak, many different locations. And the largest provider of pork in the U.S. is owned and held by a corporation based in China. Smithfield Foods, the country's largest producer of pork products, plants across the country that employ tens of thousands of Americans, announced last week it had closed multiple locations due to the outbreak. Company addressed the closures of plants in Cudahy, Wisconsin, Martin City, Missouri, Sioux Falls, South Dakota in recent news releases. Fox News reporting that Chile announced plans Monday to issue the world's first immunity passports for recovered coronavirus patients that would make residents exempt from quarantines and other restrictions, according to a report on Monday. Other issues also going in the news. Let me just mention a couple. President Trump said Wednesday that he's instructed the U.S. Navy to shoot down and destroy any Iranian gunboats harassing American ships in the wake of a tense encounter in the Persian Gulf, Fox News reports. The encounter happened last week. Six U.S. Navy warships were conducting drills with U.S. Army Apache attack helicopters in international waters off Iran last Wednesday when they were repeatedly harassed by 11 Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Navy vessels, the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet reported. The Iranian ships repeatedly crossed in front and behind the U.S. vessels at extremely close range and high speeds, including multiple crossings of one ship, the Puller with a 50-yard closest point of approach and within 10 yards of another ship. Very interesting indeed. Well, in light of that, now we have the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, according to DailyWire.com. Their commander, General Hussein Soleimani, ordered his ordered his naval units Wednesday to destroy American naval vessels if they threaten the security of Iranian vessels in the Persian Gulf. Homeschooling, boy, it's under attack. This is from the Daily Wire. In a shocking essay for Harvard Magazine, a professor of law and director of Harvard Law School's Child Advocacy Legal Clinic claims homeschooling is a threat to children's rights, a method of promoting white supremacy, and a drain on democratic society, and even goes so far as to suggest a national presumptive ban on the practice, calling for a national ban on homeschooling. Professor Elizabeth Barthollet is leading the charge against those who actively resist public schools and believes that the generation currently being homeschooled is an eventual, if not active, breeding ground for racism, sexism, and isolationism. She insists the influence of parents must be restricted, saying, quote, "The issue is, do we think that parents should have 24/7, essentially authoritarian control over their children from ages 0 to 18? I think that's dangerous," she said. She's called, therefore, for a radical transformation in the homeschooling regime and a related rethinking of child rights that recommends a presumptive ban on homeschooling with a burden on parents to demonstrate justification for permission to homeschool. She's leading a June summit at Harvard to discuss regulating homeschooling. The focus, from townhall.com, the focus will be on problems of educational deprivation and child maltreatment that too often occur under the guise of homeschooling in a legal environment of minimal or no oversight. Experts will lead conversations about the available empirical evidence, the current regulatory environment, proposals for legal reform, and strategies for effecting such reform. No registration fee for the event. It's private by invitation only. Homeschooling, dangerous for America. I'd like to open our phone lines here today. I've got more stories, but would like you to also weigh in on issues. If you want to comment on some of these issues or other current event stories, our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. I don't know if you heard about the new Danish Bible translation. They've removed Israel out of the Bible. They've removed the word Israel. The Danish Bible Society has cleansed the New Testament, which is in the new edition called the New Agreement of the word Israel. It's only used once in the Bible 2020. In all other passages, the word Israel is either replaced with Jews or the land of the Jews, or not replaced with an alternative term at all. Have to remove the word Israel from the Bible. Interesting. By the way, folks, there is just no end to those who are after your children. LifeSiteNews.com has a story. Disney has introduced a male couple as the parents of two youngsters in the reboot of its popular DuckTales. DuckTales, folks! The show previously had only hinted about Violet's gay dads, but the season 3 opener left nothing to imagination. Also revealed that Violet's dads have adopted her best friend, Lena. In season 3's first episode, as Lena steps forward to be recognized during a junior woodchuck meeting, her excited sister cheers for her from the crowd, shouting, "That's my sister!" from a couple misters. She is seated next to two adult males, each wearing a T-shirt proclaiming, "I'm with Dad," and an arrow pointing to each other of the male couple. What next? Now there's homosexual Duck cocktail dads, trying to produce and portray it as being normal. By the way, the ACLU, according to WND.com, suing Idaho over a state law that requires participants in girls' sports to be girls. That's right. The ACLU is suing the state over a law that requires participants in girls' sports to be girls. That would rule out boys who say they're girls. Idaho's Fairness in Women's Sports Act made the state the first to ban biologically male students from participating in the all-female sports, and the ACLU cannot stand it. Let's go to the phone lines here today. We're going to begin with Jerry in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I just wanted to concur and give credence to what you said about people making more on unemployment than they did at work. A woman I work with in healthcare, her son is making more than she is because of unemployment, and with the stimulus, he's actually making more than she is by sitting home. And I just wanted to concur with what you're saying.
Well, thank you, Jerry, for the call. David is next in Pewaukee. You're on the air.
Hi. A couple things really hit me. It's just, as you were talking earlier about the wristband, you know, to identify people when they're infected. The question that came to mind right away was, whatever happened to all the HIPAA laws that have been jammed through in our faces in the last 10 or 15 years? Yeah. I mean, girls can go to get an abortion, and they're protected under HIPAA laws. But now, if we're infected, we have to make it public. I mean, it's like they keep changing the rules, they keep changing the laws, and each one of these things is just more and more of a violation of the very Constitution that these people said they're in office to uphold. Yeah. It just blows my mind. It's like we're watching a combination of Brave New World and 1984 unfold right before us. It makes me sad to say this, but I think with the way things are going, if the tide doesn't turn, I think martyrdom is coming to America. Mm.
David, thank you for the call. Lord willing, this Monday we're going to be talking about COVID-19 and the persecuted church. We'll be having a representative from Open Doors USA with us here, but sad to say that the level of persecution is increasing around the globe. And how long before we see the intensity hit us right here in the U.S. as well?
Yeah, I think it's coming, and, you know, I'm praying against it. I'm praying that God will bring about a massive amount of conviction to people, because there are so many people in the churches that I run into that are so utterly apathetic, and it's almost like, oh, yeah, well, it's okay. We win in the end. And it's like, yeah, well, what about all of the people who are out there hurting that don't know the Lord? You don't care about them. The only thing you want to do is get raptured and get out of here so you don't have to suffer anymore.
You know, the Scripture says, moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. That doesn't
Absolutely.
Mean we don't sit back in a rocking chair. We need to be active occupying till he comes.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And there are opportunities everywhere. I mean, just to help a family out or walk to a neighbor's house and say, hey, I know you're older, you know, I you can't get around, can I run to the store? Yeah. You know, God just asked me to stop by and see what I can do to help. I mean, what an open door opportunity. Every place we go and every store, I mean, it's like Jesus said, the fields are white under the harvest, and I feel like the fruit is starting to rot in the fields because nobody's out there to lend a hand and get into the job.
Tremendous opportunity to advance the gospel. Thank you, David. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Keep on doing what you're doing, brother.
Thanks so much. And we're just seconds from the break, so we'll pick up our next call right after the break. It's a news roundup day here on Crosstalk. Interesting story, WND.com, a black Georgia Democratic state lawmaker who announced his resignation Wednesday because of his support for President Trump in the 2020 election has now changed his mind. State President Vernon Jones explained yesterday on Twitter, "The outpouring of support I received was too great for me to ignore. I will not allow the Democrats to bully me into submission. I will not let them win," Jones wrote. "I will not resign." That's a Democratic lawmaker out of the state of Georgia. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. The other night in my research, I stumbled on a 2014 article in the Washington Post, as well as at National Post. Headline, Bill Gates funds birth control microchip that lasts 16 years inside the body and can be turned on or off with remote control. Guess who's helping him develop it? none other than MIT. The same group, an MIT group, MIT companies helping him do this. That's MIT, who's also, according to numerous reports, helping him develop a special kind of dye that can be put onto the skin to see if you've gotten your vaccine. But what's very troubling about the microchip birth control, it is controlled wirelessly. The question is, who will turn it on? Who will turn it off? What will qualify one to be able to procreate? My friends, this is nothing more than eugenics updated with today's technology.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're going right back to the phone lines on a news roundup day here today, and we're going to New Mexico. Andy calling in. Hi, Andy. You're on the air.
Yes, I thank you for taking my call. I wanted to comment. You know, we as Christians, we should not be too surprised at the time and age that we're living, because, you know, it's Israel is the time clock, and in 1948, they became a nation again. Now, the Bible says the generation that sees Israel become a nation again, if a generation consists of 70 to 80 years, it doesn't take too much to do the math, and no wonder things are happening at the time and place that they're happening. So we should not be surprised. We should just get ready, because they're talking about digital money, and the nation pretty much is pretty broke, and it looks like there's no remedy. I don't want to be a doomsayer, but I do want to be a realistic, and I thank you for this program.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you for your call here. The remedy is available. A remedy is Jesus Christ and the need to turn to him. Gary in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I was wondering if you've heard any information about this executive order that President Trump signed to close the border. But there's word on the internet saying that thousands of Chinese have work permits that are crossing the border like you can't believe. And of course, we know they're, you know, probably all spies, quote spies maybe. But I just wonder if you've heard anything about that. It's like, why do the executive order if all these thousands of people are going to cross the border? And it said that Ivanka's husband is being paid millions of dollars in regards to these work release, these work permits, and making him rich.
I can't substantiate that. I can substantiate the fact that an executive order was given. I do know that there's been exemption for those who have work permits here for the country. But the details of what level of individuals are coming into the program, I don't know those levels. I do know that just the other day, yesterday, the Supreme Court did give President Trump a victory in efforts to deport immigrants who've committed crimes, a 5-4 ruling that upheld a lower court decision. That's a legal permanent resident facing deportation for his crimes was not allowed to evade deportation under U.S. law. So the president just won that yesterday in the court. But I don't have enough information here to talk further about the executive order and what's transpired since that time. But thank you, Gary, for the call. Let's go to Richard in Grand Junction, Colorado. You're on the air.
Hey, great show today, Jim. Thank you for all that you do at VCY. Love what you're contributing to our country. Just wanted to mention briefly, I didn't hear you talk about it today, but a lot about the fact that the similarities between the COVID and the Spanish flu of 1918-19, a man who wrote a book 16 years ago, is talking about a lot of the similarities between the COVID handling and how they finally defeated the Spanish flu by doing exactly the opposite of what the government people have been saying about staying at home and instead get out, get the virus into the air, the atmosphere, the heat, the humidity, and it's gone. It's amazing, the similarities.
Okay. Thank you for raising that issue here, Richard. Jim in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I heard a friend of mine in Madison at the rally said the Capitol doesn't have the United States flag waving today. He either took it down or didn't put it up this morning or something, but that just shows the government we have in Wisconsin at this time, or our governor. And I just want to make let people know.
Okay, so that was a report a friend made to you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Jim. Our number here, 800-733-9829. Blanche is calling from Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes, I just heard it verified on there. Smithfield is owned by China. That's been my favorite food, to buy their food. I will never, ever buy another piece of food from that place, from Smithfield. And that's what I want to say again. I did not know it was owned by China. And every American, every Christian in this country, and everybody that loves God needs to stand up and fight back, take our country back. Do not let these people have our country. And that's where it's going. Pray fast, pray and fast, and believe. Okay.
Thank you, Blanche. Appreciate your call here today on Crosstalk. Let's see, we've got, we're going to quickly get to Corbin, Kentucky. Michael, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. How are you this afternoon?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to make a comment about the House and the Senate just voted that $484 billion the bailout, as well as the stimulus, that the $2.2 trillion. A lot of people that I hear, we're in a very religious Bible Belt area here in Kentucky, and of course our senator is Mitch McConnell. I've heard a lot of people been talking. They're saying, "Oh, well, it's the Democrats, and the Democrats is what's going to make our economy go to the wayside." Well, it's both sides. It's both sides, both is just as corrupt as the other. So my big question is, we're almost $20 trillion in debt.
We're beyond that.
Where is that money coming from?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Well, we're beyond $20 trillion in debt. And that's a very valid question. Where is that money coming from? We're printing and printing and printing, and we certainly don't have a gold supply to back that up. And there are some that are really believing that it's intentional to just totally collapse our economy. And as some speakers have said, that is necessary in order to bring about a global currency to take place. So certainly we keep our eyes on this, but we can't do what we're continuing to do over and over. And it is indeed, it takes both parties to do what's happened to this country financially.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, not only financially, but I mean, it's all across the board. There's too much mudslinging, and the Bible always tells us that, I like to go back to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, mm-hmm. about, that the people would that come back to him, that he would...
I'll tell you what, for our closing music is playing right now, but indeed... My people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. That national debt right now, $24.6 trillion as far as the national debt, and some say it goes well beyond that as well. Indeed, we're living in troublesome time, folks. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's commit our ways before him. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.